Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I am so excited to have my guest on today. I think Ben now has been on, I think, three times. So without any further ado, I want to introduce you guys to Dr. Ben Hardy. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Always love being with you, Dave. Love your energy. Love your work. I love ClickFunnels. But I also just love you, man. Good to be with you.
Oh, same to you. So if you guys aren't familiar with Ben's work, Personality Isn't Permanent is a book we talked about. I just blanked out on your first one, which I
Willpower Doesn't Work.
Willpower Doesn't Work. But the one I'm most excited about is the most recent book, and that is Who Not How. I've read it and I've listened to it on audiobook as well. Sold over 100,000 copies in the first month. We're going to talk a little bit later about how in the world he did that. But I think the coolest part for me, honestly, is I felt like I was a part of this book, Ben.
You were there. You were there the moment it became real. We were at Dean Graziosi's office, remember?
Yeah. And sitting there in Dean's office. And it was just fascinating because I literally remember where I was sitting, and because as you were teaching it, Russell, or I think the first one who taught it was Dan.
It was Dan. He did his 15-minute presentation.
Yeah.
And I remember you guys even did a podcast episode about Who Not How after that.
I did. And so the title of this one is going to be Who Not How Revisited, because it's so critical. And I think the part I love the most, and that it's even in your book as you talk about, is you became the who to your mentor. And so you actually ended up, you were the who wrote the book for Dan Sullivan. So with all that said, I'm going to let you do most of the talking because this is your specialty, but let's dive into why this is so critical.
Yeah. So I'll quickly tell the story and then we'll go into the concept, because the concept is essential to success and freedom. You know, basically the core ideas is that, and this is a really good idea in psychology, basically the size of your future, whatever you see for your future determines your motivation, your mindset, your ability in the present. And most people's future is really small because they're the ones who create it all by themselves. They have to do all the hows. You know what I mean? Like if you're going to start a business, you got to be the guy who creates the website. You got to film the videos. Like people put way too much how on themselves rather than getting who's to take care of the hows, which create not only more freedom, but a bigger future. And so the book invites you to expand your view of your future by allowing you to ask who and getting who's in your life. And it's as simple as, you know, there are people in the book that I talk about who no longer drive their own car. Instead, they know that their time is so valuable on the phone that they'd rather pay $50 to an Uber and never have to park again so that they could use that time in the car to make $10,000 on the phone. You know what I mean? Like, it's just about applying people to what you're doing.
I read that part. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Do it. I'm just, yeah.
It resonates. So that was me. Literally, when I first moved to Boise, we were in a rental house that was about 20 minutes away from here. And I thought, this is crazy. I literally got an Uber every single day into work. Now I live literally a mile and a half from the office, so it would take more time for the Uber to get,
to
the office. But I literally, as I was reading that in your book, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was me. And I didn't put the connection together like you just said.
Well, Dan's never driven since 1994. He just that up. He gave that how up a long time ago. You know what I mean? Like he just does a few hows that he really values, and he lets who's do everything else because he knows that his time, and a lot of it has to do with your time. You know, you need to free up your time to do the things that you value most, kind of the 80-20 principle. Like what are the few things that you do that create exponential results? And, you know, 80% of the things that you shouldn't be doing should either be given to other who's or deleted. That's one half of it. But also, where is your time? Or where is your attention focused? You know, like your attention can be focused on driving and I'm not, driving is an extreme example. That's why I'm sharing it. You know, like it could be mowing the lawn. It could be putting your Christmas lights up. It could be answering your emails. You know, there's probably a million things that you're doing that if you freed up that attention and you were able to put your attention where you really wanted to, you could create enormously bigger results, especially because you have other people who are also generating those results with you. And so it's a lot more of a collaborative mindset. It's a lot more of a teamwork mindset, a lot more of a leadership mindset than we're taught in school. Because in public education, we're in a more of a competitive environment. You know, we're taught to, you know, work ourselves, and then we essentially compete against other people and try to get A's and try to, like, you know, beat the curve and whatnot. And so we're not taught in school. We're not taught in school how to collaborate. We're taught to compete against each other and to do everything by ourselves.
Oh my gosh. This, honestly, I love this topic so, so much. And the reason it just, I remember sitting in Dean's office, I got chills, and reading your book, I had the exact same experience, because this is like one of my, I never put the words together like you do, but last night I had this conversation with my wife. We're buying a cabin up in the mountains, and we just got the quote from the painter, and she's like, I could save that amount of money and just paint it ourselves. I'm like, sweetheart, are you kidding me? The last thing I want to be doing is going up there, which is supposed to be relaxing, get away from it all, and have to paint. And she's like, well, we'd save the money. I'm like, you don't understand. This is my personal belief. And I believe as an entrepreneur, one of your jobs is to create jobs for other people. And I said, we literally gonna be taking money out of that guy's pocket for Christmas. Let's go just do the opposite. And she's like, really? I'm like, yes. And so I don't cut my grass. I get so excited about this topic because other people are like, oh, well, I need to be doing that. I'm like, why do you need to do that?
Well, the more you apply it, the bigger your future gets, because you're building an army to help you with your goals. I mean, you could look at anything as a goal. You know, you have all these outcomes. For one, you might have the goal of having a painted cabin. That's an outcome you want. You can do it yourself, or you can have teamwork. You can hire someone to do it for you. And the more teamwork you have, the more time and energy you have. And a lot of people, they don't think that they can, because maybe they have that cost mindset. There's a cost and an investment mindset. And if you view it as a cost, you know, it's going to cost you $2,000 to have that cabin painted. You know, that's $2,000. But if you focus on it as an investment in yourself and your family, then it's like, what could you do with those 10 hours? You know, you could invest it in being with your wife and your kids and just enjoying that. Or you could invest it in you focusing on your career, where in those 10 hours, you could easily make multiples of that. You know, so if you view it as a cost, you know, if I view, you know, hiring the guy to mow my lawn as $30 as a cost, then I'm like, then I'm focused on what I'm missing. But if I'm like, yeah, I get that hour back, and instead I could write that book, or I could write that article, or I could just be with my kids, then all of a sudden your future gets a lot bigger.
I love that. In fact, the subtitle of your book, The Formula to Achieve Bigger Goals Through Accelerating Teamwork. I love this idea of accelerating teamwork. If you don't mind kind of expounding on that idea, because to me, I think so often a lot of entrepreneurs, when they first get started, it's, I've got to do it all.
Totally. That's how we're trained. And we don't realize that that's the problem, is that we're doing it all. You know, like as myself, I didn't necessarily identify myself as a writer when I first started writing. I was in my PhD program and I started as a writer, and I was writing on Medium and learning how to grow myself. And I was doing everything. You know, I didn't know how to hire. I didn't think to be able to do that. And I didn't have a lot of money, but I realize now that I started making money once I started hiring people, like, because I stopped doing everything. You know, in psychology, there's the concept of decision fatigue, which has a lot to do with willpower. But the more decisions you have to make, the more scattered your brain is in a million different directions. You know, you've got to answer 400 emails. You got to do this. You got to do that. Oh, plus I got to get creative and write that article. Oh, plus I got to, you know, like go and be with my kids. The more things you're doing, the less flow state you have. And the less flow you have, the less deep work and quality work you can do, and also the less quality your decisions are. And so when you start offloading all that decision fatigue, not only do you have more willpower, but you then have more flow to focus on the few things that matter. You can actually make high quality plans. You can execute on those plans. And so I think that the moment people actually start applying who not how is when their business is actually going to really start to grow for most businesses. And that's, you know, get that first assistant, hire that person for 10, 12 bucks at a digital assistant, and take 20 hours of your mundane tasks off your plate so that you now have more attention towards the bigger picture or towards creative tasks, or, you know, but yeah, the moment you start applying it, then you'll want more and more teamwork. You know, when I was writing the book, when I first started, so just to pull everyone into like the situation, you, me, Russell, we were all in the same room. We were at a 100K mastermind group, and Dan presents the idea. At that moment in time, it's like August of 2018, I believe. At that point, I have one employee. At this point now, after learning the principle and applying it, I now have, you know, like 8 or 9 employees. And also, I collaborate a lot more. You know, I now write a book, not just Benjamin Hardy, but with someone else. This is teamwork. It was a lot easier book to write. I also had better editors, you know. And so you just really start to realize that your success in life depends on the who's you have in your life. You know, this book was a lot better written and easier to write because I had a really good editor, Tucker Max. That's teamwork. I used to just edit my own stuff, you know? And so you just start to realize that your success and your results come when you start applying more teamwork, and your income grows, but also the quality of your work grows when it's not all on you.
Oh my gosh, I love it. In fact, this is the whole reason we actually ended up buying, I don't know, 500 copies of your book to give to our students who are part of our Two Comma Club X coaching program, because I believe so much in what you're teaching. And one of the things I loved when I remember opening the book and look at the table of contents. And the part I love the most is broken down into four areas. And each of those areas is freedom. And freedom to me is—
that's what it's all about.
So important. I live for freedom. And so it's freedom of time, freedom of money, freedom of relationship, and freedom of purpose.
Yeah. That's really what Dan teaches. That is what Dan believes is like the core motive for entrepreneurship. It's not, you know, money is a byproduct, you know, it allows you to do things. And so he, you know, who not how is the avenue to create freedom. You know, we start with time, because if you're not using your time well, you can't have money. You know, like you have to learn how to use your time well in order to have more vision and be able to do things of higher value so you can have money. If all of your time, you know, Dan talks about how there's like a time and an effort, there's a time and effort economy and there's a results economy. And a lot of people, they get paid for their time and effort. They get paid for 9 to 5, how much time they punch into the clock. But when you shift over to the results economy, where you get paid for the results you produce, it doesn't matter who creates the result. It doesn't matter how the result is created, only that the result is created. And so I think that the first invitation—
that is so valuable. I'm going to have you repeat that, because I think people don't understand that whole results economy. That is like the driving force.
Yeah, I mean, I joined the results economy a long time ago. I remember during the first year of my PhD program, I was making $13,000 as a graduate student. And by the way, that was in 2014 and 2015. Like as a graduate assistant, they basically pay for your tuition, but you also get like $1,000 a month. So I was making $13,000 a year as a graduate assistant. And so I was in the time and effort economy. And again, that's what the public education system trains you to do. They train you to be a how focused. Then I just realized, you know, and I studied mindset, I studied money and all these things, that like, it's really about results. You know, if you can find— that's what the 80-20 principle is all about, is finding the few things that generate all the results. And so entrepreneurs are in the results economy. They're paid for the results they produce. They're not paid for how much time and effort they put into it. They're paid for the result. And so the idea is you just want to shift over to the results economy. And what who not how is all about is it's about letting the who produce the result for you. You know, so for me, for example, I told Dan I wanted to write this book. I said, Dan, I love the idea. It was in the very meeting that you and I were in after he did his 15-minute presentation. We were all blown away. You and Russell later that night or whatnot went and filmed a podcast. Well, right after his presentation, I rolled my chair over to him and I said, if you ever want this to be turned into a major book, I'll do it. And anyways, one of the cool things about Dan, and I think just about good leadership is about clarifying the what and the why, clarifying the vision in specifics, what it is, what it is you want, the result, and why it's important. Once you've really clarified that, you know, then is all you have to do is find the who and let them do the how. So what I really loved when I was writing this book is that Dan never once told me how to do it. He never told me the how, because I'm the who. He just let the who do the how. And that really impelled me to take ownership and to really produce my best results. And there's a lot of good psychology research, which I, you know, obviously explained throughout the book, that there's a quote from Einstein where he said basically that the best results come when individuals are able to work with freedom, you know? And so I had pure freedom to create the result, but yeah, it's a pretty different mindset.
I love it. I know that I was fascinated. First of all, if you don't have a copy of this book, I want you to go right now to Amazon or Audible or wherever you get your content and look up Who Not How, buy the book. I actually recommend that you buy the book and the audio. I love
the audio is interesting, right?
Oh my gosh, it's awesome. There's always additional content on the audio version. But again, go to Who Not How. You can go to the website Who Not How, you can go to the Amazon, but I want you to go and get this book right now. I promise you it'll be a blessing. If for some reason you read it and you don't feel like it's worth it, I literally will pay you back whatever amount you spent for the book. That's how much I believe in this book. So again, I've never offered that to anyone before. I think this is—
that's pretty awesome.
Will change your life. And I'm more than happy to, if for some reason you buy it, you read it, you don't think it's of any value, send me a receipt and I'll reimburse you the money.
Well, let me use you as a quick case study. So like, you are obviously a big— we're all who's for people, but we also have who's, right? So like, my wife is a who to me, but I'm a who to my wife. You know, I'm a who to my parent, my kids, you know, like I'm their dad. You know, we all have various roles where we're very important for people, but we also have people in our life that without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. Right. Like, I forgot where I was hearing it, but basically the definition of a good relationship is that you both get mutual benefit. You know, if a relationship, you know, and obviously there's more to it than that, but like, I think about my relationship with my wife, like the benefits are so extreme in that relationship for both sides that it's like, it's a good relationship. But think about your own life, Dave, and anyone who's listening, like, I know that you and Russell are very important who's to each other. You know what I mean? And also you have other people in your business, but without those people, you guys wouldn't be able to do what you do, you know? Like, and so the results that are created come because of the relationship. Without certain people in your life, you wouldn't be able to do what you do. And so results are really about relationships. And so it's just, it invites you to first off think, what are all the things that you've accomplished in your life that wouldn't have been able to be accomplished without certain people? And then it just invites you to basically ask what's possible if you started including the right people into your life. You know, if you want to run a marathon, well, why don't you include someone in that goal? You know, maybe a personal trainer, maybe a coach, maybe someone to run it with you. Like whatever goal you have for yourself, if it's your health and you've been struggling with your health, it's probably because you don't have the right who's in your life. You're still trying to do it by yourself. Wherever you're not producing results, it's because you don't have the right who's to help you.
Oh, I love that. I think that is, my gosh. I literally could talk to you for hours about this. For me, I can tell you, I had back surgeries last year and neck surgery, and the who for me was Eric Cafferty. And without Eric, I literally, my recovery and everything else, I don't enjoy working out. I will make every excuse in the world not to, but knowing I had him as an accountability partner, but more important because he was the how I was going to get better. I am better than I was before the surgery. And it's only, I give 1000% of the credit all to Eric Cafferty and Mecca Gym because of it.
Yeah. Let me make this super personal. When I was in my PhD program, my wife and I were foster parents of three kids. And because, you know, there were a lot of reasons why we were prejudiced against, but the main one, like they didn't like our religion and stuff like that. We were in the Deep South, but also they just didn't like that we really wanted to adopt the kids. A lot of times, like the foster system, they just want us to be a placeholder and they, you know, but we really wanted to adopt the kids. Like we were like, we love these kids. They've got no good options. Their parents are all drug addicts. They've got no family. And we were really fighting to adopt these kids and they were fighting against us. They made us the enemy. And so it actually came to the point where they took the kids out of our house. And they were breaking the law. Like our caseworker was breaking the law, trying to give these kids to a grandma who had already failed a home study and was a drug addict and stuff because she had become so prejudiced against us. And we ultimately had to go to the law. We had to get a lawyer. And luckily for us, we were able to find an attorney in South Carolina where I was doing my PhD who was like the number one adoption attorney in the state. And he was such a good attorney, such a good Christian man as well, but he knew the law back and forth. And in fact, he ended up changing the law, which enabled us to adopt the kids.
Wow.
But without him, we wouldn't have been able to adopt the kids. If we had tried to do it ourselves, do all the hows ourselves, we were incapable. A lot of times a who comes with a how, that they've, whether it's knowledge, whether it's relationships, cool. Connections, whether it's, but we wouldn't have adopted, we wouldn't have been able to adopt the kids if we didn't get a who. And again, you always see the who as an investment. You know, it cost us literally, and we didn't have very much money at the time, over hundreds of thousands of dollars probably. It cost us, I think we did the math at one point, and this was while I was a PhD student, it cost us at least $150,000 over the 2 or 3 years to do all the legal fees. But we didn't see it as a cost. We saw it as an investment because those kids were worth, you can't put a dollar money on it, I mean a dollar amount, but we would not have been able to adopt those kids without a who. And so, I know I like the quote that when the why is strong enough, you'll find the how. But I think often when the why is strong enough, you'll find the who. Like you'll find the person who will produce the result because you want the result more than you need the credit. And so to me, it's very important. We would have never had our kids had we not gotten the best attorney available. And our attorney made those other attorneys look like losers, honestly. Like, but he made the miracle happen and we were able to adopt our kids. And so I just think if you want a result really bad, you got to get other who's involved. If you're putting all the pressure on yourself, you're probably going to procrastinate. And that's I guess one of the main antidotes of the book is if you put all the hows on yourself, you're going to procrastinate. What are all the goals you've ever had that have been procrastinating? Because you're putting all the pressure to do it on yourself. And if you just get who's involved, then you won't procrastinate anymore.
I love that. Well, on a personal note, I can tell you, I was one of the who's responsible for helping Russell with Traffic Secrets gets to New York Times bestseller status. I'm really curious how in the world you sold 100,000 copies in the first month, only because I've been involved in this whole book thing for three books now.
Yeah, so I'll tell you, we did sell 100,000 copies in the first month, but let me just really quickly say this. So for 3 years, I was the top writer in the world on Medium.com. I've had over 800,000 people give me their email with non-paid traffic. You know, all organic traffic through blogs and stuff like that, over 800,000 people are in my ClickFunnels account. obviously, a lot of them have opted out at this point, but I didn't start growing and really get, I got to the point where I was getting over 20,000 emails a month through just organic blog traffic. It was right after I read .com secrets. In 2016, I was getting about 1,000 emails a month, and then I read .com secrets, and with the same traffic, immediately I was getting 20,000 emails a month. And so Russell is a big who in my life, you know, and you, because you made that book happen. And so that's why a book can be a who as well, or knowledge can be a who, but I'm a huge advocate for what you guys do, and I use ClickFunnels, and I have for years, and the knowledge that I got from that who, which was you and Russell in this case, and just Russell and everyone who wrote that book, changed my life and my business. But that said, so here's how we sold 100,000 copies of this book in the first month. This was a unique setup because this book is published with Hay House Business, which is actually, I think, now the same imprint that you guys use. But what was cool about Hay House was they allowed us to do a 99-cent Kindle for the second week the book was out. 99-cent Kindle. And so what I ended up doing was I ended up creating an incentive competition within my email list. I have an email list right now of like 320,000 people, pretty dang active too. But because it was 99 cents, there's something you can do with a Kindle. You can actually gift the Kindle to other people. There's a spot in Amazon where you can say, give this book to someone else. And you can gift up to 999 at a time. And it was only 99 cents. And so I created a contest where basically the top five people who gifted out the most copies of the book, I would do, you know, I'd give them a cash prize. I'd give them access to my coaching program, and I'd do even a little private coaching with them. And so, you know, there's that whole concept of 1,000 true fans that Kevin Kelly and Tim Ferriss talk about a lot. But if you have like 500 to 1,000 people who are just big, big fans of your work, and you've got a 99-cent Kindle and you can have the ability to gift it. I mean, so I had hundreds and hundreds of people who were gifting hundreds of copies of the book because they were wanting to get coaching from me and get the cash prize. And so the incentive was right. It was so easy for them to do it that, you know, it was, we broke all the records. We actually, during that 1 week, during week two, we sold 74,000 copies of the Kindle. And we, on top of that, we sold a couple, you know, like quite a bit of hardcovers and audiobook and stuff like that. But 99-cent Kindle is amazing. If you can do that for a week and then create an incentive competition where you get people to gift the book out, I mean, and the incentive is right, and you've got 100 to 1,000 true fans that will freaking work to get that. I mean, we had multiple people gift out over 1,000 copies, you know? And then we had hundreds that were gifting dozens. And so it becomes very easy when you've got hundreds of people gifting dozens of copies to get up to 75,000 in a week.
Oh, I love that. Well, I'm really curious what the next... As you and I were talking, as you're simplifying your life, you're actually doing three books next year.
Yeah.
Somewhat of an oxymoron there, but I'm simplification, three books, at least for me, does not sound, those don't go hand in hand. I'm curious as far as what are some of the stuff you're working on right now?
Yeah, so I'm working on a book. It does sound like an oxymoron, but I'm actually spending my time doing less. Like writing is something that I like doing the how of. That's a how that I love doing. And so for me, I'm doing less other hows and focusing on that one. And I have other whos to take care of the things that I used to do. But I really love writing. I love collaborating and I love learning, and I can do it pretty quickly. You know, I wrote Who Not How in about 3 months, but I got help, extreme help from really smart people. But yeah, I'm writing the second book with Dan. The second book, we have a deal with Hay House to do, you know, a book every year for the next 10 years. And so the next book with Dan is called The Gap in the Gain. It's all about just basically the mindset that allows you to be happy or sad. You know, if you're in the gap where you're focusing on what you don't have, you're always going to be unhappy. Whereas if you focus on your gain, whatever you've recently succeeded at, what you've gotten. So for example, yourself, you know, like ClickFunnels has a vision for its future and you're not quite there yet. But if you took the time to measure, and I know you guys probably already do this, how far you've come as a company, or even as far as how far you've come as a Dave Woodard in the last, let's just say 3 months, chances are you're not even in the same place you were 3 months ago.
No.
You've learned things. And so if you focus on the gain, you feel progress, and that allows you to be happy. So we're doing a book with Dan. I'm doing a future self book, and which basically are the best ideas from Personality Is Impermanent. I think Personality Is Impermanent could have sold millions of copies if it was framed the right way. One thing I've learned about from blogging is if you literally just change the headline, sometimes the thing gets 10 times or 100 times more views. So I'm making a more effective version of Personality Is Impermanent called Be Your Future Self Now. And then I'm doing a co-authorship with a guy named Richard Paul Evans, who's a fiction writer he's written like 44 New York Times bestsellers. He's been a friend and mentor of mine, and we're co-authoring a book through Hay House as well that comes out next year.
Crazy. Well, tell me, I'm fascinated about this idea as far as future self now. It's much more captivating title than Personality Is Impermanent.
Yeah. Be Your Future Self Now. And it might be actually a different title, but future self. So basically, here's where the field of psychology has gone. It's crazy. For over 100 years, the belief was that whoever you are as a person could be explained by your past. You know, if I want to know who Dave Woodard is, just give me your history. Tell me about your history, how you grew up. Tell me about all your crazy experiences, and tell me ultimately what led you to being the person you are today. Where the research has really gone in psychology is actually the opposite direction. That the best way to explain who a person is by understanding their view of their own future. So whatever view you have of your own future is actually the thing that's determining your behavior, your mindset, your identity in the present. You know, like if you view your future, and then here's what's really interesting about it is that the research shows is that most people view their future self as the same person as the person they are today. So, you know, even if you look back on your former self and you say, do you see the world the exact same way you did 10 years ago? Do you have the same priorities, the same values? Do you do things the same way, the same habits? Most people can see that 10 years ago, they were pretty different than they are today. But even with that, most people project out a future self that basically is basically the same person. Daniel Gilbert, who's a Harvard psychologist, he actually did a TED talk on the subject. It's called The Psychology of Your Future Self. And he's got a quote in there. And he says, human beings are works in progress that mistakenly think they're finished. And so most people think that who they are right now is kind of the full-on version of themselves, when the truth is that your future self is going to be fundamentally different than who you are today. In 5 years from now, your future self's going to be in a different situation. They're going to be dealing with different problems. They're going to have different values. They're going to be focused on different things. And the more clear you can get towards the future you want, the more your present can actually be directed in the right way. But whatever present you have right now is based on whatever you're trying to create in the future. For a lot of people, though, that's just paying the bills. It could be getting to the end of the week so they can watch the football game on the weekend. Like, whatever view of our future we have, that's the thing driving our present.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Well, is that going to be out by the end of the week? I need some reading for the weekend here.
I'll send you the copy because you're Dave Woodard. But that book, I'll send you the PDF. But that book comes out in April or May, probably April. That's going to be a uniquely published book, not a traditionally published book. I'm doing that with Tucker Max in a really unique way. It's going to be pretty innovative. We're going to have to get on the podcast when that book comes out. But I'll send you the book anytime.
I'd love
but that book's going to crush people because I think it'll leave people with no excuse. You know, your future self is up to you. You know, put it this way, like from a growth mindset perspective, people with a growth mindset value their future self. You know, they like if people with a growth mindset, and Carol Dweck's done a lot of research on this. If a student with a growth mindset fails a test, they say not yet. They say, I'll get there. I can figure this out. I can learn this. Whereas people with a fixed mindset, they overly value their current self. And so if they fail the test, they say, oh, I'll never be able to get there because this is where I'm at and where I'll always be. And so if people overly value their present self, then they undervalue their future self. And if you don't appreciate how different your future self could be, especially with like compound interest, you know, like a seed in your current self's hand could be an oak tree or an orchard in your future self's backyard, you know? So your future self has infinitely more potential than your current self, but a lot of people just overly value who they are right now.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to read it. Well, again, I could literally talk to you.
Yeah, you're awesome, Dave. I appreciate hanging out with you, man. It's fun. It's always fun.
So for those of you guys who've listened to this, if you haven't been convinced, please go buy Who Not How, listen to it, read it. My offer still stands. If for some reason you think it's not worth it, send me the receipt. I will definitely reimburse you. Ben is just a dear friend of mine. And beyond just being a dear friend, I totally believe in every single thing that he writes. And I think it's been a game changer. It literally has changed my life. And I can't wait to see your next stuff this next year.
Cool, man. Yeah, I just invite people to do the same. This is definitely the best book I've written, the simplest book, Who Not How. And if you read and apply it, your life will be fundamentally different. Like, you'll have way more freedom. You'll have freedom of time, money, relationship, and purpose. It'll help you to expand in all those key ways. So, yeah, thanks, Dustin.
Thanks, Ben. See you.